Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, we hear why women UN police officers inspire confidence among displaced people in South Sudan, and youth advocates call for stigma-free access to sexual health care. But first, despite years of policies to promote gender equality in the workplace, no country has managed to make it a reality. That's one of the findings of a report launched at the second Barbershop Conference held at UN headquarters in July. The Barbershop Conference aims to change the conversation around gender equality by encouraging men and boys worldwide to stand up for the rights of women and girls. The initiative was created in 2015 by Iceland and Suriname and supports UN Women's He for She movement to achieve gender equality within our lifetime. As the name implies, the concept uses the neighborhood barbershop as a model. That's because barbershops are more than a place men go to get a haircut or a shave. They also provide a safe space where guys of all ages and from all backgrounds can speak freely and share their opinions. And they're also where ideas about what it means to be a man are often learned and reinforced. Henry MacDonald is Suriname's ambassador to the United Nations.
Today we are proud that more and more barbershop-type events, conferences, and initiatives are being recognized all over the world. These events not only advocate for gender equality, but also provide a more introspective space for men to question their own role, their own privileges, and most importantly, their own responsibilities towards gender equality.
This session of the Barbershop Conference saw the launch of the second State of the World's Fathers Report on men's participation in unpaid care work, such as looking after children and other family members. Gary Barker is president and CEO of ProMundo, which works to address unequal power dynamics between men and women, and a co-author of the report.
There is no country in the world that has achieved equality of men and boys doing 50% of the daily care work, in spite of all the years that we have been talking about it. No country, likewise, has achieved equality in women's participation in the paid workplace and women's pay compared to men, again, in spite of years of making noise about this and policies in place.
The report lists an 11-point action plan to break down barriers. Recommendations include providing paid leave for all caregivers and supporting lower-income families with childcare. Progress also involves challenging notions of what exactly constitutes men's work and women's work.
If we continue to construct this idea that care of others is a female task, then we need to work very hard to undo that and make it be seen as a human task that all of us need to do. If we can figure out ways to empower our daughters to be in spaces that were once considered men's spaces, we can certainly work at helping our sons understand that caregiving is something that we expect of them as well.
That was Gary Barker, a co-author of the State of the World's Fathers Report, speaking at the second Barbershop Conference held at the UN in New York. South Sudanese citizens who have been displaced to UN protection camps as a result of conflict in the country say they feel safer when those camps are searched for weapons and other prohibited items. When the search is conducted by women, there's a higher sense of trust, confidence, and security. That's according to Cynthia Anderson, an officer from Ghana who is serving in the UN Police Force, or UNPOL, in South Sudan. She leads the team who conducts surprise inspections to ensure the sites, known as POCs, remain civilian in nature. Daniel Dickinson spoke to Cynthia and started by asking her how was the search operation on the POC in the country's capital, Juba.
It's been very, very marvelous because before we embarked on this search operation, I briefed my team. I told them what we are going to look out for, and then they've understood me, so there is this cooperation. And also before we enter a shelter, first of all, we greet the people to strike this kind of a curtsy. So they've been very, very cooperative. Even though we have some few instances where they sort of wouldn't agree with us, but in all, it's been okay, yeah.
And what have you found?
Yes, we found one military boot, one military belt and then a military uniform.
And how concerning is that?
Yes, as I said earlier on, we are trying to maintain the civilian nature of the POC camp, so we don't allow any form of uniform of any armed group into this POC. So when we get this, we try as much as possible to confiscate these items. Yeah.
And what happens to those items?
These items are handed over to the team leader, and then he takes it over from there.
I've been watching your style. I really like the way that you approach all the households. Do you think it helps that you're a woman?
Yes, I think so, because, you know, majority of these people here are females, and they have some kind of trust when it is the search is being conducted by female police advisors or OMPO. So it kind of gives them some sort of confidence and a sense of security. Yes, they feel free to interact with us, so it helps a lot.
And how proud do you feel to be representing Ghana as an UNPOL officer?
I may say it is a privilege to be here, and we are just doing our best to contribute to the quota of maintaining international peace and security. I'm very, very proud as a woman, because, you know, the UN setup is seen as male-dominated, so a woman working side by side with my male counterpart, it is really a privilege, and I'm really proud of that.
Countries are pushing to achieve a more just and equitable world by 2030, and youth activists say access to sexual and reproductive health care is important to meeting this objective. Ruben Pahes from the Joint UN Programme on HIV and AIDS, or UNAIDS, and Hayley Gleason of the International Planned Parent Federation in the United Kingdom took part in a recent UN forum on the Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs. They spoke to Liz Scafidi about a youth alliance known as Act 2030, which aims to dismantle barriers that put young people at risk of being infected with HIV.
The project that I work on is all around youth-led accountability for the Sustainable Development Goals. We're here to kind of monitor what governments are saying with regards to sexual and reproductive health and rights and HIV, to support youth participation in these processes as well. We want to kind of make sure that all young people can access stigma-free, non-judgmental sexual and reproductive health care. We really need to tackle the legal and policy barriers that are preventing that.
Ruben, would you be able to identify partners?
One partnership that has really taken off has been between youth advocates and medical students. So basically, these students are the future health workforce. And what we're seeing that when it comes to people living with HIV and people from key populations, including gay men and transgender and drug users, is that most cases of discrimination happen in the healthcare. These youth advocates have begun a partnership with the International Federation of Medical Students, which is representative of millions of young doctors across the world, to sensitize and make sure that they're ready to know how to treat young key populations and young people living with HIV without being stigmatizing or judgmental and so on. So this is the type of very pragmatic sort of partnerships that we're looking for through this agenda.
Hayley, what would you consider a highlight from the political forum?
One thing that's been really exciting for us is there was a full-day event called the Partnership Exchange, and it was held in the General Assembly Hall, and it was throughout the day highlighting different examples of the role of partnerships in achieving the Sustainable Development Goals. And there was a session specifically on partnerships to further Goal 3, which was on health and well-being for all, and on 5, which is gender equality. And the pact was actually selected as one of 6 partnerships that were featured on the panel. And so we were really able to showcase our work both with Act 2030, with the new Uproot agenda, and with some of our other partnerships. And that was really exciting for us as the only youth-led partnership on that panel. For us to be up there on the General Assembly Hall stage kind of talking about our work was really exciting for us.
Ruben, how would you say that the HIV epidemic can be successfully tackled?
I think that through Uproot agenda, what we're seeing is that young people are really taking the lead to make sure that when it comes to HIV, we need to really tackle the root causes that put young people at risk, and doubling our efforts when it comes to tackling discrimination, exclusion, human rights violations, violence, and so on. Through the HIV response and through this agenda, we see young people taking the leadership again and tackling the issues that require long-term interventions, and young people are very determined to do so.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.